Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast today for Social Month, August 2020. Loving Social Month, not exactly the most easy time to have a thriving social life, but you know what? As Lifebookers, we move on, we do what we can, we focus on what's in our control, and we design our life vision as best we can with the circumstances. So thank you for joining me, everybody, for a Member of the Month podcast. That's right. I love interviewing the members. And today we have, all the way from one of my favorite places in the world, the Netherlands, we have Yika Jalama on the line. I did my best with your name. My apologies for butchering it. How are you doing today, my friend?
No, you're great. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Enjoying Social Month, enjoying the Lifebook community, enjoying, I see you up in there posting a lot, helping others out. You are truly, I think your profile says something like, addicted to doing Lifebook daily. I love your engagement so much. I truly do.
Yeah, thank you.
Listen, talk to me about your background. Talk to me about what brought you to Lifebook. I know you're a little shy, but I'm excited to dive in today. What is your Lifebook backstory?
Okay, well, my Lifebook backstory. So I think the most defining thing in my life was that when I was 14, from one day to the other, I became very ill. And we had no idea how long it would take, if I could ever get better. And basically my whole teenage years, I've been in bed, super ill. Mm. And there was little hope of ever getting better.
Jeez.
But against all odds, I did recover. And things were going a lot better. And I managed to get back to high school, get my diploma. And I started studying at university. But then during university, it was so much fun, but I got a major relapse in my health.
Oh no.
I got sick. And I realized that I had been addressing all the physical aspects of illness, but not so much the emotional and spiritual ones.
Wow.
And during the second relapse, that was really all about spiritual healing and emotional healing and really finding my way back to myself, because I had lost myself pretty badly, so to say.
Wow.
During that period, I also had my spiritual awakening, and it was a very dark night of the soul, so to say. Mm. And then I discovered Mind Valley.
That helps.
And Mind Valley helped. Yeah, that really helped a lot. And then it wasn't until long until I bought like all access, and I was doing all these quests, and my entire life was just changing and changing for the better. And then I discovered, but I had my eye on Lifebook from the start, but I was always like, I'll wait a year, I'll do all access first. And then they had that amazing offer, right?
Mm.
You can get your money back. And I just went for it.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. How does Lifebook compare to personal development programs you've done in the past, for instance?
Completely different for me. Like, I've done so many personal development courses, but the fact that you have the community around it, that just really, that made the biggest difference for me.
Oh wow.
And also how broad it is. Like, I've worked with other programs where you like look into your life and then try to figure out what you want and what your soul wants, but it was never as comprehensive as Lifebook is. Like, with Lifebook, I really feel like every single part of your life has been dealt with. Like, you know what you want.
That's an answer we get frequently, is the comprehensiveness. So I appreciate that. And I think really that's what's so attractive to the people who really want to do the work. But I love what you said about community, because in large part, that's thanks to Mind Valley. Lifebook as a program has really struggled to find the right partner. And Mind Valley is so good at things like community. And so that, I'm glad that you brought that up. That makes me happy. This is a loaded question that I'm going to follow up with. And I know it's really a tough one for a lot of people, but could you pinpoint your biggest Lifebook breakthrough when you were going through the program, either inside or outside of social category is fine?
Oh yeah. I know exactly what was like my biggest breakthrough in terms of mindset. It was, I think, halfway through, I realized that all the visions that I had created in the beginning weren't so much my visions, but they were still more like societal visions of what was...
Oh, wow. What was appropriate? What was normal
yeah.
to the pathway to success and happiness?
Exactly. And halfway through, it hit me, like, I need to choose in every category what makes me happy. And I realized that I could choose in within every single category something that adds to all the other categories. Whereas before, for example, in intellectual, I was really like, okay, intellectual category, I want to have a master's degree, I want to be updated on the news, and I want to know that, like, the scientific research always be up to date. And then later on, I realized, like, wait a second, that does literally nothing to my happiness or to any of the other categories.
Fascinating.
And so I threw it all overboard. And, like, so now the way my life book is built is that the only things that really build or really add to every single other category are allowed to be in my life book.
That's incredible. And we hear that a lot, too, which is people find themselves having to, you know, 4 or 5 categories in when they're hitting some character categories, when they're hitting even emotional, spiritual, they find themselves having to go back to the first few for exactly that reason, because some sort of paradigm shift has already occurred halfway through the program. I think that that's really that middle period there is quite profound when it comes to those paradigm shifts. But thank you for sharing that. Yeah, that's huge. You know, really, it's funny because even if you're told that, like, you know, you're told the quotes about eudaimonia and the great Greek thinkers saying that personal happiness is the key to life and success and all of that. You can be told that, but you're still framing it up, like you said, in someone else's vision, your parents, your pastor, your teacher, just society, the media, your media idols, whoever it may be. Like, it's very, I don't want to use the word insidious. I guess I'll say it's very subtle. Like, it's deeply ingrained and it's subtle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, John says it every single category, like, choose something that's really right for you and not for others. And despite all that, we're still like, maybe I should choose it nonetheless.
Totally. It's like there's always another lens there. Like, if you just look close enough, there's still a lens you could slide away to see more clearly. I love that. I want to talk to you about your recent move. And because, you know, a lot of people are struggling. First of all, a lot of people struggle when they go through the Lifebook program and they can't find anybody to relate to. Like, personal development, unfortunately, is a niche culture. It's meaning that it's not the majority of people who want to work on themselves and better themselves and make that an active part of their daily routine. I wish that number was bigger. But if we're being realistic, if we're really looking at the numbers, it is a niche culture. So a lot of Lifebookers feel lonely. And now, especially with COVID, I mean, come on. But you recently moved to a new house and there was quite a pleasant serendipitous event there, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. So when I was writing my life book, I wrote down in my quality of life that I wanted to either live with or live close to people that were into the same personal development stuff as me, mm-hmm. and preferably life bookers.
Nice.
But then I was actually trying to buy a house that was far away from everyone. It was in nature and it was a great place. It was like right next to the beach. It was amazing. And then the universe just interfered and they rejected our offer against all odds. Oh. And we couldn't find any other place, nowhere. And then I actually did a method from the Silva method where you ask the universe for guidance on a particular project that you have.
Love that.
Which is the reframing for problem. So I used that to solve my housing situation. And then someone from Lifebook, one of my accountability partners, he sent me a picture of his garden. And on the picture, I could see that he was living in like a holiday park, which was exactly what I was looking for because I had only 2 weeks left before I had to move out of my place. And it was quite stressful. I really needed to find a new place. And then everything went so smoothly. And I tried to move somewhere else, but I just really had to move here. Like, all the signs of the universe were like, go to this place, Jacob.
Wow.
And then I ended up here. And now it's so much fun because now actually the second part of my wish for how I want to live came true. I'm living next to someone who also did Lifebook and who is also a major Mindvalley fan. And
that's crazy.
We have lunch every day and talk about all the Mindvalley stuff that we're doing.
Oh my God. Daily Lifebook lunches. I think you're making a lot of Lifebook members jealous. That's incredible though.
Yeah.
That's gotta be a huge boost for your quality of life in all categories.
Yeah, totally. It's incredible.
That's so fun. Do you find that the Netherlands kind of really resonate with the Lifebook method. I mean, everybody does, right? Anyone who's introspective. But I think we've had a lot of support come out of the Netherlands. And I don't know if that's because, you know, I know Mind Valley does great work there. Didn't they have a university there, in fact? But yeah, I just love that you were able to find someone right next to you. And now you have these daily Lifebook lunches. That's huge. We should probably focus on social. It is social month after all. In your social category, in your Lifebook, what do you consider the biggest transformation pre-Lifebook and then post-Lifebook? Or just really anything you want to share from your social category out into the community?
Oh, it's really been a massive transformation. So like almost none of my old friends, quote unquote, hardly any of them are into personal development. And the past 2 years, while I was going on this journey, they were not so able to relate. Like, I could talk to them about it, but they would never really understand the depth of it or be on the same page as I was.
Right.
And when we got to the social category, I just really created this list of what I wanted in people. And then I was also in an accountability group. And I realized, like, wow, Lifebook people are people that make me feel so inspired and so happy, and it really lifts me up. And then I decided, like, I want to talk to someone from Lifebook every single day. I want to have accountability calls every single day. It gives me so much happiness. So I should just go for it.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, so then I started a bunch of accountability groups, and most of them are still going 6 months later. Like, we still talk a lot.
It's incredible. I absolutely love that. You sound so full of joy and life for the Lifebook process. Do you think that your early struggles with health played a major role in your gratitude and your motivation to work on your life because you are grateful for that life?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
I hear that a lot with people who have struggled in the past, and it makes me wonder if, like, we know that stress is good, right? And stress builds muscle. But do we really understand that? I mean, it can literally transform a person. One person can have this sense of motivation and the sense of duty to their life to be the best person they can because of stress, because of a tragedy, where another can be in a total depressive state in the exact opposite situation because everything was handed to them. They never built character. I don't know what I'm trying to get at here, but I sense that emanating off of you, Yika. I sense your gratitude, and I think probably in large part, not in all part, due to maybe your face with mortality, your reckoning with mortality.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, nothing makes you humble like not being able to do anything for years on end. Like, when you've been in that situation, every single walk, every single time you can sit upright, every time you can get out of bed, all of it becomes the most precious thing in the whole world.
Oh, that's really sweet. I love hearing stories like this. You're making me a little bit emotional here.
Oh.
Not gonna cry. Okay, let's talk about lockdown again. Talk about gratitude for the things that the way things used to be, the normalcy, the freedom, the ability to fully express yourself. It's kind of the exact same situation with COVID, right? I mean, here we are completely restricted. How are you handling lockdown? How is your social life? Obviously, it helps with your neighbor. But just talk to me about your social life and maintaining during this pandemic.
Sure. Well, so I guess my situation is a little bit different from regular people because I was already housebound. So I wasn't going out anyway. I was already always at home due to my health issues. So for me, the whole lockdown period was actually a huge blessing. Like, I feel bad for everyone who had to deal with COVID and who is dealing with all the negative effects of it. But for me, it meant that all these things that I wanted to attend but couldn't because they were happening in real life rather than virtually were suddenly opened up for me.
Right into your house. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, all of a sudden I could just join all the things that were happening that were always unavailable for me. And I was like right in the middle, and everyone was going through the same thing I had been going through for like 2 years.
Yeah, that's right. And the world came to you, sort of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everyone was suddenly like so open to video calling. And
I know.
The whole world suddenly discovered, like, hey, we can also just live like this. and we can actually do conversations like this. And we don't necessarily need to meet up, even though it's a lot more fun. Like, if it's not possible, then this also works.
The adaptability is nice for sure. But I think, again, it's interesting. Like, first of all, it's interesting how this has affected people differently, wildly differently. Some people are having like horrible situations. Other people are connecting more with their family and with nature and making more money than it's literally just like a wild card, it seems like, for most people. So I think that's fascinating. And like you said, you have to feel for those who are struggling. And then the second thing I was going to say is it's kind of similar to that reckoning with mortality. A lot of people have had a reckoning with loneliness, or more specifically, a reckoning with solitude, right?
Okay.
I follow this really funny comedian, and he's really inappropriate, so I don't even really want to shout him out on this podcast. But he said something very profound. He said, I know people in relationships specifically, he was talking about. I know two ways that people have gone during this COVID lockdown. They've either doubled down and fallen in love with their wife all over again. He was talking about his guy friends. Or they want to effing kill their spouses. This is the two directions that it's going. And that's a bit of the reckoning that I'm talking about, right? Single people have to deal with the solitude. Family people have to deal with being at home the entire day with their spouse or with their kids. Like that, for a lot of people, that's a monumental reckoning. Again, it depends on your situation. For me, I'm at home all the time, but like, it's bringing things to the surface and it's making people face things that may make them uncomfortable and they're having to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Like, you really get faced with yourself and with everything that lives within you and everything that you allow to be in your direct environment.
Because when you're going out and you're doing things, that's the exact opposite of what you just said. You can they're kind of distractions at times, or at least when you eliminate them, they certainly seemed like distractions, because now all you can focus on is your character, your environment, your home, your relationships, which you built. It's very self-responsibility oriented. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Really.
Being faced with your own life there. And that's why we have Lifebook, because you need a roadmap. So yeah. Oh, I love that little tangent we just went down there. That was wonderful, Yika.
Oh, and I can actually beautiful bridge do something here. Because one of the struggles that some of my accountability friends had, and for me personally as well, is like, when you don't have a job to go to, how do you make sure you wake up on time? Like, how do you keep a rhythm even though you don't have a job or you don't have to go anywhere?
That's so true.
Yeah, so we actually created a little accountability group with two or three friends, and we would call each other every single morning, like with all of us, to make sure we're all awake and dressed. And then we would talk about what we would do that day. We would like set our goals for that day and just have a little chat. So, because we were all living alone, so felt a little bit like we had roommates.
Oh, that's huge. Way.
Yeah. And then at night at like 10 o'clock, we would have another call and then like check in with each other, see how our day had been, if we had been working on our life book.
Huh.
And then we make sure that we were going to bed on time as well.
Well, I think when you yank the rhythm out, it's important to, that's a powerful practice that you're doing, which is reestablishing a healthy rhythm when the old system was ripped out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's really an interesting and a little bit scary, maybe a lot scary time. And really all you can do is focus on what's in your control, plan ahead, take the actions you can, try to let go of the rest. So I love the accountability groups. I love the working on your life book. I think you're a shining example of a life booker, if I may say so, Yika. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you before we signed off here, what's your biggest supporting category for social? How do you support your social life best?
I think for me, it's definitely character.
Mm.
In terms of character, my main focus was self-love, because you can't really love others if you don't love yourself, right? You really have to foster self-love and self-trust in order to have very healthy relationships with other people and healthy friendships and be reliable both for yourself and for others. So That's been major for me, to really get those boundaries well in place and just live life out of self-love.
That's incredible. Was that a tough lesson for you to learn after all you've been through?
Oh yeah. It was really hard, but also very rewarding.
Mm.
Like, I've really So in one other Mind Valley course, there was this quote, and it says, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, I was like, oh, that is so true.
Mm.
And then I really started focusing on making sure that every single little thing I do is coming from either a place of self-love or gratitude or another high-vibe emotion.
Jeez.
Simple things as cutting vegetables. You can cut vegetables and be like, oh my God, I just want to eat. Why do I have to cut these freaking vegetables? And it's taking so much time. Mm. Or you can actually cut those vegetables with like, I'm going to make a nice meal for myself. It's going to be super healthy. And I love cutting vegetables. And I love cooking for myself. And that just changes your entire way of living. If you take all these small, seemingly random moments and turn them into these meaningful moments of taking care of yourself or taking care of others.
Oh, that's so lovely. That was so well put. And I totally agree. I think that it sends some sort of universal message there. The Native Americans, I'm really fascinated with in the United States, the Native American culture, and they would give thanks to the plants before harvesting them, obviously using all parts of the animal, giving thanks. I think there's really something to that beyond our mere human comprehension, if that makes sense.
I love that.
Listen, this is beautiful. I feel like we just had a moment there. This is a good place to leave off, Yika. I want to say, where can people find you? But you're up in the Lifebook Facebook group. Do you care to share anywhere where people can find you or not? Just visit Netherlands sometime and visit the lovely country.
Yeah, you can always visit me here. I'd love to meet the person.
Come and have the Lifebook lunch. Right. Okay. That's a big window you're opening up.
Yeah. And online, I'm definitely the only Yika Chalama in the whole world, I think, so should be very easy to find.
Amazing.
You can also find me on Instagram. I don't have a website yet, so it will happen somewhere these weeks, but I don't have it yet.
This was lovely, Yika. Thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any final words you'd like to share with Lifebookers or any advice or just...
Yeah, I do. My biggest advice is follow your bliss. Like if you follow your bliss, you're on your soul path. And that's what life's all about.
Woohoo! Love it. Absolutely loved today's social month, member of the month interview with the great Yika Chalama. Tried my best. Everyone out there, thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate you all. Best of luck in crafting your life visions. We will bring you more powerful content. You can rest assured. This is Yika and Jordan signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast, everybody. Bye-bye.